This podcast is a production of Bread on the Water Media and RadioForThePeople.com and is engineered by Audio Diner Studios. Our theme music is provided to us by our dear friend Gordon Bonham, whose music can be purchased through GordonBonham.com. Our graphics for this podcast are provided by Kathy Piercy Fryan. The podcast is sponsored by Artisan Realtors and Silicon Prairie Ventures.
This podcast is intended to give people a glimpse at what it's like to get a bad diagnosis, whether it's cancer or something else, and then go through a traumatic experience. First, we will discuss how my cancer story affected me and my family. Then we will talk about how their experiences affect other patients and their families, including discussions around why you need to advocate for yourself or for your family member. As we explore other patients' experiences, we will talk to some professionals about how to move forward after a traumatic or not medical event. I expect this to be a discussion that changes over time to reflect these combined experiences that I and others have had, and what our journeys are like, and the inevitable twists and turns that go along with real-world experiences. Join us on this ride as we attempt to show joy and laughter as well as the tragedy.
Welcome back to Normal, What's That Like? We're going to continue in this episode with our discussion with our host, Dan Adams, and his story of a cancer diagnosis.
Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Normal, What's That Like? Today our guest is going to be Danielle Halsey with the MOVE program. But before we get to that, I need to thank a couple of people. First of all, I want to thank Gordon Bonham, who provides the music at the intro and the exit of this podcast. I also want to thank Kat Fryan for the artwork that we use both on the podcast and now on the website, which went live this morning, which is also normalwhatsthatlike.com. We also need to thank sponsors, which are Silicon Prairie Ventures and Artisan Realtors. So with that said, I guess I want to, I'm going to go back to talking about how I got to this point where I met Danielle. And so, you know, the idea of our podcast, of course, is for patients and their families to kind of figure out if they need help, how they might navigate some of these situations. And so hopefully they're going to have a lot easier time than I did, because what happened to me was Georgiana and I began to talk. I was very physically debilitated, came home in a walker and all that fun stuff after my hospitalization. And then during my chemotherapy and immunotherapy, they were afraid to have me do any exercising other than walking, because they were concerned about my heart based on some of the drugs I was on. So anyway, Georgiana and I began to talk about me going back to a personal trainer that I had been to before, and then happened to be on the phone with my primary care physician, just kind of a follow-up, and he suggested that I find someone who specialized in cancer rehab. And oddly, when I Googled that, the MOVE program didn't come up, but there's a website coming now, very soon, that Danielle, I'm sure, will share with us here in a little bit. But I did find this organization that doesn't exist anymore. It was something called Karuna Health, that said they did mind, body, and spirit kind of things for cancer patients. And ultimately, after trying several times, I got a hold of Jamie Renbarger, who is a oncologist, but in this instance is not an oncologist. She provides kind of a therapy session, but it's more a coaching kind of program. And Dr. Renbarger said, well, here's the person you need to talk to. And she gave me, she didn't tell me the name of the program, but she gave me Danny's contact information and said, contact her. And so I contacted Danny, I think on a Tuesday, and she got back with me the next day. And I think I was here, by the way, we're broadcasting remotely from the MOVE Program Center in the IU Simon Cancer Pavilion. So anyway, with that said, hopefully no one else has to go through all that to get here. And it's been one of the most marvelous things for me to be part of this program. But first of all, I'm going to let Dani introduce herself and tell us a little bit about her and how she got here.
Okay, awesome. Well, yes, I'm Danielle or Dani. I am the lead exercise physiologist for the Multidisciplinary Oncology Vitality and Exercise Program. Woo! So more easily named the MOVE Program. I've been with the MOVE Program for about, let's see, we moved into our gym space here in February of 2023, but the program itself has been going since 2021. But I've been with the program for about 2 years. Originally, the program started as just a general, like, let's see if people will use this. And it was focused on prehab for breast cancer survivors because our medical director, Tara Ballinger, is a breast oncologist. And so originally it was for new breast diagnoses, pre-treatment. Fine. Pre-treatment. And then as I got onboarded on, I ended up starting the whole exercise arm. So all of those pre-treatment patients were only being seen and assessed by a physical therapist, and then they were doing follow-ups with the physical therapist. So the MOVE program is continually growing. So that's a little bit about the program. I guess more about myself. I am a Colorado native that now lives in Indiana. I'm a little sad about it, but I'm still here. I did my undergrad and my master's at the University of Northern Colorado. And yes, that is UNC, but not the UNC. And I spent about 2 years working at the University of Northern Colorado Cancer Rehabilitation Institute. And it was one of the first cancer rehabilitation programs that was developed by Dr. Carol Snyder at the University of Northern Colorado Rehab. So that's kind of how I got involved just in this field, because exercise oncology has not been a large field and is just now starting to grow in the last 5 years, I would say. So when I graduated college in undergrad and grad school, I was like, I have this interest in exercise oncology, but the only way you can do it is if you just show up at a hospital and say, hello, I would like to start an exercise program. And if you're not a physician, which thankfully I ended up meeting Tara and Jamie, if you're not a physician who's interested in it, most of the times they're not going to listen to some random person on the street to be like, your cancer patients need to be exercising. But so yes, after some time, I was moved out here to help start some clinical programs with IU School of Medicine. Through IU School of Medicine, I had the pleasure of meeting Dr. Jamie Renbarger, and we worked on a research study that looked at exercise in adolescent young cancer. I just said that way wrong. AYA, adolescent young adult cancer survivors, and the impact of it, because a lot of the research of exercise is in adults. So we wanted to look at the ages of 15 to 39. And then through that, and once that study ended, I met Tara, who was like she was a co-I or like a mentor on that study. And she said, hey, I'm starting this new program. And so at that time, MOVE program was, like I said, just that prehab PT portion. And so she was like, what would an exercise physiologist look like? What criteria would they need? Like, will you help me write this job position? I was like, yeah, sure. And then she's like, okay, like, here's the job position. Like, do you know anybody who would be interested? And I was like, yeah, like, let me send it out to my friends, da da da. Because I loved my job as a clinical research coordinator at Riley. I loved working with the kids. I loved doing the research. I had a lot of flexibility, loved all my coworkers. And so I was like, yeah, like, send in this job description out to all my friends. And then as my friends and other people are applying, I'm like, wait, I'm an exercise physiologist. And I was like, I think I texted Tara or somebody, and I was like, I think I'm going to apply. And she said, well, if you apply, you know I'm giving it to you, right? And I was like, oh, I guess. She's like, no, I mean, I've worked with you. I know what your work is like, and I would enjoy working with you. So I started here, I believe, in like May or June of 2022, and that's, yeah, maybe I that might have that year wrong because it's 2024 now. But and we started in working in this IU Health gym spaces and seeing patients there, and then eventually we turned a conference room into what is now the Move Gym. So that's kind of a little bit about me and the program. Personally, I am a power lifter who also does like half marathons. I've done one half Ironman, and I did 10. I went to 10 weddings last year, so I haven't got to train for anything really this year. but yeah, and then I have two dogs that I'm obsessed with and a fiance I like quite a bit too. So I'm a powerlifting runner.
And so just off the subject for 1 second, any significant events in your life coming up?
I get married in like 104 days, 100 days. That too. I talked about my fiance. I do love him. I just feel like he's just a part of my life. He's not a personality trait kind of thing. But yeah, so that's a very long-winded way of how I got here. Is I've been very fortunate enough to be involved in exercise oncology for, I'm 30, so almost, I mean, I've been involved in it, or I started my experience with it in my early 20s. I went to cardiac rehab, sports performance, and then went to clinical research coordination. So like, I've been around it since my 20s, but directly in it, I would say, for about 6 to 7 years now. And I kind of count my clinical research time because I was overseeing exercise research studies, but I wasn't really doing the interventions at that time.
But still, the infancy of the idea of exercise physiology for cancer rehab.
You're a
pioneer.
Yes, it feels like it sometimes. I'm not as big as a pioneer as some other people in the world, but it is really cool because, like, when I was starting or leaving undergrad, like I said, it just wasn't a field, and so now there's ACSM subcommittees about cancer and exercise. There's all these other things, so it's really, really cool to see the growth of it and to have multiple programs that are popping up throughout the country. And like, I'm excited about it because it's a area I'm obviously very passionate about. I also should say I am an ACSM, so American College of Sports Medicine certified exercise physiologist. I have my master's in exercise physiology. I have other random certifications that might
you've got
not
a
be
lot
applicable.
Of initials behind
yeah.
your name.
Yeah, exactly. But not too bad.
So other than you, who are the, you've mentioned Tara Ballinger.
Yeah.
Well, who are the other partners?
So I'm very fortunate to work with Dr. Tara Ballinger. Like I said, she's the medical director and the MD who really started this whole program and brought it to fruition. And then we have a physical therapist who's oncology trained who supports the MOVE program. So her name is Stacey Weber. She's just fabulous. And then I'm lucky enough to have three other, both all graduate students. Two are doctoral candidates. So I have two doctoral, whatever. They're PhD students who have now passed their candidates for their doctorate. So Melissa and Nick are also great friends that worked with me on the AYA research study. So they help with some of the research that we run through the MOVE program, and then also patients that we see clinically. And then I have a lovely grad student named Kim, who is getting her master's at UND currently. And she was an intern with me last summer. I don't know, all the weddings really threw me off last summer. And she is now one of our PRN exercise physiologists, and without her, I would probably lose my mind because we saw 88 patients in the month of December, and we were even closed for like 3 or 4 or 5 days. So And so, we're only open Monday through Friday.
So what's that growth been like, and where did it come from? I mean,
It's been wild, to say the least. When I first started, it was like I'd see 3 or 4 patients a day. And I think the hardest part was getting the referral process and letting people and providers know, like, hey, we exist. We're a program that exists. I had patients that I was able to keep, luckily enough, for like a year, because I just had, I had time. I had lots of freedom in my schedule. So I would say, and I should have tracked it better in its infancy, but I was seeing maybe 5 patients a week at the beginning. And that was like the same 5 patients for a solid like 6 months, I would say, with a few one-off assessments or consultations here or there. And then now we average 6 to 7 appointments a day. And we have had almost 15 people graduate from the program. And I see patients up to 36 sessions. So that can be anywhere from 12 to like 36 weeks if they only come in once a week. So it's been interesting to watch it grow. It makes me very excited, but it is like, I want to make sure we're still providing as much as we can to our patients. So I'm very grateful that I've been able to add on to our staff and have such a good team to support us.
So I'm gonna brag a minute and say I'm one of those 32
yes,
graduates.
Yes, you are. You are. You graduated what? A month?
First of January.
Yeah, right after Christmas. So many graduates, I can't even remember.
So who qualifies, and are people in treatment, post-treatment, pre-treatment? Where are they in their diagnosis, yeah, so forth and so on?
So it's funny because we have people who just kind of walk into the gym space and they're like, can we use this? And I was like, well, the only real thing you need to be able to use this is a cancer diagnosis. So do you have that? And when they're like, no, I was like, well, then you don't get to use it. But yeah, we see patients at any point during their cancer experience. I like to use cancer experience because journey seems to, I just don't like it. I don't like the word journey. Because it is an experience. Experience can mean good and bad, so I feel like experience captures that better. So I see patients either right after diagnosis in an attempt to try and see them before treatment, before they start chemo or have surgery or things like that, see them during treatment, and I see them after treatment. So you can be at anywhere in your cancer timeline and still come see me. We obviously try to see those patients who are in more need or are struggling to kind of get back on their feet or even just find their feet during treatment. But we offer consultations to any patient who is just like, I don't know where to start. Or like, I have a lot of patients who are like, I was so active and then I had cancer and then there was nothing for me. And now it's 4 or 5 years later and I still just can't get back to where I was. And so those patients, I still have them come in and like, let's talk, let's figure out what works best for you. Because I think the big thing, and Dr. Renbarger talks about this, and almost all people who work in the cancer survivorship sector, that's a weird way to put it, but that's a word, all kind of talk about how like treatment and life and the effects of cancer don't end after you ring that final bell, right? It continues on.
Well, I didn't even start here till after I'd rung,
yeah,
the bell.
Exactly. And so that's what's really hard, is I think our medical system has somewhat gotten to a point where it's like, okay, well, once you're done, like, okay, good luck, have a good time. But there's all these other side effects that are still there after the last drop of treatment has gone into your system. And so I got on a tangent, but that's how I feel about that.
So you see patients that are kind of like I was, which was, in, you know, physically I could walk and do all that, but I was pretty debilitated.
Yeah, and like in your case, you were somebody who is very, very physically fit. And like, you know, your grip strength was poop. Like it's just little things of like, you were getting winded, your heart rate was pretty high. Like it wasn't your norm. And so, like, you are somebody I probably could have graduated earlier and been like, hey, here's a, you can go back to your PT kind of thing, or your own right. personal trainer again. But at the same time, it's like, I had the availability. Let's get you, let's keep you in.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I worked out yeah. really well. But so I think it's, that's probably the hardest part about my job is blending that line, or that line of where somebody is too fit or doesn't need my help. And there's a lot of like different, stratifications that we can use called like an exceed screening. I'm saying that wrong. So if anybody from the exceeds teams hears me, I'm sorry. But there's these different screening tools that we can use that say like, this person would be fine doing an individual exercise program. This person should probably be watched. This person needs to go to PT. So it's, but it can be very blurred in the sense of like, I have like, Craig is somebody who could go exercise by himself, but also benefits greatly from coming in, because there are just things that vary so much due to their immunotherapy, which I shouldn't right. have said his name, but you know.
Oh, no, it's fine. He's going to be a guest on the podcast, yeah. so it's fine.
Hey, Craig.
He has also said to me that this is like the best thing since his cancer diagnosis yeah. that's happened to him to be yeah. part of this program.
Yeah,
so.
And one thing I really like too is I was really against us being in the hospital. Not against. I was just glad they were giving us a room. I shouldn't say against it, but there's always a hesitation of patients coming back to the hospital. And so like a lot of our patients are like the first few times are like, well, I just like walking in here makes my heart rate go up. It's a little bit anxiety inducing. Like, so what I've enjoyed too is bringing some ownership of like, you're coming into this space on your own terms. I've tried to make the gym like, it's not a hospital spot. It's like you're stepping into a gym, or you're stepping into a place that is your own, and you get to take care of yourself. And it's not, it's about cancer, but it's not just about your cancer kind of thing, where I'm very proud of that, because that's what we try to provide at University of Northern Colorado. So it's called the UNCCRI. I just pick places with really long acronyms. UNCCRI program. And it was its own separate entity on the college campus. And a lot of patients really loved that. So it was really nice.
So the last question on this little piece of stuff is, you're part of the IU School of Medicine.
Yes.
And
IU Health.
And IU Health.
Yes.
But do you only take IU Health patients?
No, we do not. So any patient with any cancer diagnosis is more than welcome to come join the program. Sometimes if you haven't been seen in an IU Health facility, we might have you go get a screening from our PT. Only because then it puts you in our healthcare system, and it's a lot easier kind of things, because I'm a non-billable service. So because I'm a non-billable service, I don't have, like, it's just a weird back end thing.
How are you funded then?
I am funded from very nice people who like to donate their money to the program and to the IU Health Foundation and to the IU Foundation. So it's very confusing. There's an IU Health Foundation and there's IU Foundation. So one supports the clinical side of things, and one is more of the IU School of Medicine side of things. And then we have great supporters like Komen, who supports a lot of our research. Frog in my throat. We have the Heroes Foundation, and we have Pink Forever, and the Hope Foundation. So we're very lucky to have a lot of really good supporters, and both IU Health and IU Foundation are kind enough to pay for my time here.
Well, I'm meeting with the Indiana and Michigan rep for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Maybe I'll tell them that you wouldn't mind if they have a little money to throw your way.
I will. I've never at a point in my life been like, I will take money, please. Thank you. We're at a Heroes Foundation. If Vince or anybody else listens to this podcast who is at that foundation, we were doing a last little bit of bidding, and people could bid or offer to donate at different tiers. And one of the tiers was like X amount of money for exercise programs for cancer patients. And I was just so excited to see our program that I was like, hey, that's me. And everyone around me was like, it's their program. And then they made me stand up and talk about the program. And they were like, you have 9 seconds, talk about the program. And I was like, I've had a glass of wine. I'm stressed and now nervous, but I did good. And then a lot of people donated. So a lot of people at Heroes, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Awesome. You've talked about the growth of the program. What are your goals and philosophy forward with where would you like to see the program go?
I would really like, so we're in the process right now of offering a group class once a month, every 4 weeks. I'd like to continue to do that and also provide virtual exercise classes either once a week or once a month for patients who don't feel comfortable coming in person or don't want to make the drive. Because we do offer virtual services because we understand that we have a lot of patients that are seen from all over in Indiana and they can't come to Indianapolis every day just to hang out with me as much as they might want to. It's not great for their
guests.
It's
a lot of fun. I will say one of the things that I've found is that you guys make it fun and it's always positive. It doesn't feel quite like the rest of our cancer experience. It's a very positive and fun experience.
Yeah, I might make some jokes about your cancer, but only if you allow me to. So. So I would like to see growing that virtual and group aspect of things, both because then I think we'll be able to maintain and see more patients at once. And then I would ideally like to somehow grow to having little satellite programs or individuals that can go to different IU Health locations and just help out and see patients there, because sometimes people from way north or Lafayette don't want to come down here. Like I shouldn't say we as in the MOVE program, but Ball State has a cancer exercise program that is there, and Grace Fair does a great, she just got married too, so I don't remember her last name change, but she has a great program there. But again, that's the only one really north that I know about, and so having just more options of expanding, bringing on more staff so that I am not spread super thin, and Tara has enough enough time to have me do the other things I need to do and have our patients be seen, is kind of my biggest goals for the program, is just continuing to grow while maintaining this comfort to patients, I guess you could say. But it's really just a day at a time right now. Starting a program is wild. It's a lot of work. So at this point, it's just get a little bit bigger and continue to let people know we exist and that we're here. Because that's the biggest thing that had been a challenge when we first started. And I think that's what made the biggest change was people see their flyers, so they're able to self-refer more. Our website will eventually be up, and that'll be helpful. We don't have a website title yet, but it'll probably just be on the IU School of Medicine, like Simon Cancer Center website. We should have like a link to get to our page. If you want to just stare at Dan, he'll be on there.
Well, and eventually we'll put up a link to it.
Yes, yeah. It's very close to being done, because that'll be nice, because you'll be able to sign up for our group classes. You'll be able to sign up for our virtual classes through that. You'll be able to look at pictures of Dan and me if you're really missing us one day. So that's how I see us growing. It's just becoming more of a, I don't want to say like a household name, but something that like every provider is like.
People don't have to search for you.
Yes. Yeah. You don't have to go through 17 Google searches and email this random black web email address hoping that it leads you to a person. Like you're like, oh no, it's the MOVE program. So kind of like the Live Strong program where.
Right.
I know not everybody knows what it is, but it's, you say it and they're like, oh yeah, like if you work in oncology, you know what the Live Strong program is, kind of thing. I would like it to be a point where it's like, at least if you're from Indiana and somebody's like the MOVE program and you have some knowledge of oncology, they'll be like, oh yeah, I know that. I know that program.
So you mentioned, one of the things you just mentioned was that there was a program through Ball State, which is also here in Indiana.
Yes.
Are there other local programs that you're aware of?
Not that I'm aware of. Can you cut this next part out.
Sure.
Stacy, are you aware of any other programs in for cancer rehab? Yeah, I was going to say. So did you hear that, people? No.
Nothing else like what you guys are doing.
Yeah, and
here.
I don't think what we're doing here is... So there's a place called Maple Tree Alliance, and they have a lot of partnerships with different hospital systems, and I know that they do similar things, but it's still a pretty slow-growing field. So like St. Vincent, or that's St. Francis. I'm looking at a flyer on my wall. St. Francis has a Moving Beyond program, Moving Beyond Cancer program, and I believe that is more at home, or it might be virtually. I know with COVID, a lot of things also changed, and then they offer some yoga classes and things like that. So some hospital systems still have them, but again, I think they're mostly in Indianapolis, or a lot of them are run through the cancer community.
We'll fill that in later.
Yes. Yeah. What is it, Stacy? Cancer community.
Oh, cancer support.
Cancer support. CSR. Yes. Yeah. Cancer support community. So
CSC.
Which Hunter? I know.
Another acronym.
Yeah. There's a lot of acronyms. But Hunter runs that program, and she's also fabulous, and she trains and sees some patients through cancer sports community there as well. So we have a few resources, but again, I think a lot of them are centralized.
Great. So we try to keep these around 30 minutes. We're kind of approaching that amount of time. So just do you have anything you want to say to wrap up?
Yes, I do. Because hopefully there are some cancer survivors listening to this podcast. And so I think the biggest questions are why you probably were like, let me listen to this podcast about an exercise physiologist talking about exercise and cancer. If I had to give a 5-minute spiel, my biggest cue for you is something is better than nothing. If you can move through treatment, whether that be a 2-minute walk or a 10-minute walk or a 30-minute walk, something is better than nothing. Try to incorporate some sort of resistance training. That does not mean you have to go to the gym. That does not mean you have to buy a whole bunch of fancy equipment. Use your body, use cans of soup, use milk jugs, use your 25-pound dog. Whatever you need to do to just move your body and work against resistance is going to also benefit you. Also, give yourself your grace of when you're going through treatment, you're going to go through ebbs and flows. Chances are, right after treatment, you're going to be feeling really crummy. Do your lightest amount of work at that point of time. If you're farther out from your treatment, right before you start your next cycle, push a little bit harder till you get right up to that date. But I think that's the hardest thing, or the conversation I have the most with patients is, I don't know how to do it. And I hate to water down what I do to a simple saying of something is better than nothing, or it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be super intricate. It just has to be something little. And think of it just as if you very first started an exercise experience again. Like, you guys got to start slow and go from there. So that's my biggest thing that I always like to try to get the point across. And then Tara or somebody else, and I said this on another podcast, is every little bit of exercise you do is a point for yourself, is a vote for yourself, is a effort to say I'm taking care of my body. And so just think of all the little things you do as that vote for you and your health.
So thank you very much. And what I'm going to add to that just briefly is that part of what I wanted to do was get stronger because I had been stronger and I had been more fit. But I also know what you were saying about if you're going to have treatment again, and a lot of us, our cancer is more than likely going to come back at some point.
Yeah.
And so I want to be strong for that piece too. And
yeah.
So if you can't motivate yourself any other way, that's another way. Maybe as a cancer patient, you can motivate yourself as, if I have to go through treatment again, you know, that takes a lot out of you. You need to be strong to begin with.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Yeah. And being physically healthy does show that it has greater outcomes in both treatment, in your mortality rate, in your side effects, all of that kind of stuff. And like, part of the reason you probably, while your cancer course was wild and really knocked you down, you probably were able to persevere through it better because of your health status going into
it. Absolutely. Yeah. No question. And so thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
And Danny, I'll see you again. But.
Yeah. See you Friday. See you Wednesday.
But the last thing I'm going to leave us with is, again, I want to thank our sponsors, Silicon Prairie Ventures, Artisan Realtors, and I want to thank Kat Fryan for her artwork, and also Gordon Bonham for the music and the intro and the exit. And with that, thank you very much for listening.
Thanks. Bye.